First John chapter 3, please. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. And I'm going to have you turn to the Gospel of John and verse 15. So 1 John chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse 13 first. 1 John chapter 3, verse 13. The Bible says, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you." Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. And I want you now to turn to John chapter 15, please. John chapter 15. I'm going to have you turn a couple places this morning. John chapter 15, verse 18. So while you're turning there, the title of my message this morning is, and it's kind of a downer, but the title, hopefully the message will help you. The world hates true Christians. The world hates true Christians. So if you'll turn to John chapter 15 and verse 18. And I have a tendency, when I outline messages, I either have a real long introduction and a short outline, or a real short introduction and a long outline. Well, this is going to be a long introduction and a short outline, probably. So don't get nervous if it seems like my introduction's long. I can adjust. Amen. John chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, this is the Lord Jesus speaking. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Let's ask the Lord to bless his word today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today and for the blessings of life. And God, just this church here and the folks that are here, I pray that you'd bless your word, that we would take what the Bible says here and apply it to our hearts. God, if someone is lost today, I pray that the Holy Spirit would reveal that to them and show them their need of a Savior. I pray, God, if a Christian is backslid, this would be a day that, Lord, they would look to you and try to get back to where they need to be. I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit would help us and guide us. And I thank you for the blood of Christ. And I thank you that you're our rock in a weary land. Thank you for who you are and what you are to us. Thank you for loving us in spite of all of our failings and all of our sin. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Please have your way. I ask it in Jesus' name and amen. The Apostle John said, "Marvel not. Marvel not if the world hate you." But oftentimes we do marvel. I mean, I don't understand. I'm a nice guy, right? Why does the world hate me? But the Bible says, marvel not. Don't wonder about that. Don't be amazed about that. Marvel not if the world hates you. But we do wonder. We wonder why the world hates Christians so much. And I believe it's fairly obvious that the world system, so to speak, hates Christianity. It hates Christianity. Almost everybody, I imagine, if you're normal, I'll stop there and think about that a minute. If you're normal, almost everybody wants to be liked. I want to be liked, and you want to be liked, and nobody just sets out, I hope not, anyway, nobody sets out to be disliked. We all want to be liked, and all of us have a desire to be accepted. And to fit in. But that's not the way life's going to go for the Christian in this world. as the world grows darker and more wicked, we will not fit in. We're not going to fit in. Christians will most often find themselves going against the grain. We're going to, as a Christian, as the world plunges down, we're going to find ourselves swimming upstream. Christians will be out of step with the world. And we'll oftentimes, unfortunately we're beginning to see this, we'll oftentimes be out of step with the government. And there's a pressure on people today to fit in, you know. There's what's called the cancel culture, and that's nothing but peer pressure. If you don't agree with what certain people are saying, then they shame you, trying to make you conform. And they'll close your business or close your church or shame you publicly or whatever they have to do to hurt you if you don't conform to the world's view. In other words, I'm trying to tell you, they don't necessarily need the government to make you straighten out. They'll do it other ways. I believe that even church people will turn against you if you speak the truth. Amen. And that's sad, but it's so. And the Bible says, marvel not if the world hates you. But it seems today that the average Christian loves the world and wants to be loved and respected by the world. The Apostle Paul said, we are fools for Christ's sake, and we are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. The Apostle Paul was hated by the world. And you can go through the Bible and find people that stood for the Lord, and they were hated by the world. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't bow the knee when they started the music up, they were the only ones, and I'm sure they had people next to them saying, hey, why don't you just do this? Just try to get along here. Why do you have to be that way? But they stood their ground, didn't they? When Daniel was told you can't pray anymore, Daniel went to his room just like he'd often did aforetime and prayed. In other words, if you're going to be a Christian in this world, you're going to have to occasionally take a stand. You're going to have to take a stand. Now that doesn't mean, listen, you don't have to be nasty about it to take a stand. There's some people that the world don't like, and they've got a good reason, because they're not nice people. Amen. But regardless, if you really take a stand for right, no matter how nice you are and how polite you try to be, you're going to find out that the world hates you if you stand for what's right. Marvel not. Don't be shocked, you know. Don't be shocked if the world hates you. And this is hard on us because we want to be liked. We want to be liked. So, marvel not. It seems today that the world thinks as Christians of being foolish and backward. Old-fashioned, I guess. Well, I've got to tell you something. I've got a confession to make to all of you. Some of you won't shock. Some of you haven't been here a long time. I am old-fashioned.
No.
I am old-fashioned. I'm an old-fashioned Christian. I don't think there's anything wrong with being an old-fashioned Christian. A lot of times the world will think we're unsophisticated. Well, if the opposite of unsophisticated is what's going on in the world today, then yes, I'm unsophisticated. If being sophisticated means I have to accept the fact that a woman is a man, or that a woman can compete in athletics with a man, or that a man can have a baby, if that's sophistication, then yes, I'm unsophisticated. If being unsophisticated means that I think that marriage is between a man and a woman, not between a man and a man or a woman and a woman, then I'm unsophisticated. A true disciple of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So, we're not always going to be, the world's not always going to like us, is what I'm trying to, don't marvel at that, don't be shocked. Jesus told us here, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them.
Yes.
So, we were sometimes darkness. If you're saved today, you were sometimes darkness. But now we're what? Children of light. We're children of light. And as children of light, we're to walk in the light. Do we not sing that? How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light. Stepping in the light. We're to walk in the light. And here is the light. This is what we believe. It doesn't matter what the world believes. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what's popular with everybody. To a Christian, the only thing that matters is what God's Word says. And you need to know that, and you need to have that planted deep down in your soul. Because the world changes, and it changes fast, and it changes a lot. But this book never changes. So, the world loves its own, Jesus said. The world loves its own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. God's people are not of the world. The Bible says we're to be children of light, we're to be different. We're to be different. We are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You know, if you don't join up with the world, they'll look at you as some kind of nut. If you don't go along with the world, they'll say, well, he's a fanatic. He's a religious fanatic. I never have quite understood that. The Son of God came to this world and died for my sin and shed his blood that I could be saved. And if I worship him and love him and adore him and serve him, I'm a fanatic. But if some athlete can throw a pigskin down the field, and so I get in the stands and paint myself green and white or blue or gold and take my shirt off and sit in the cold with no shirt on and paint myself blue and gold or green and white or whatever color my team is, I'm a football fan, that's okay. Y'all ever thought about that much? I mean, that's normal. That's all right if you do that. Yell and scream and holler and get all mad and cuss and carry on over a football game. And he's just a football fan. But you're a nut if you're a fanatic about Jesus. Well, I have to admit to you again that I'm a fanatic about Jesus. I owe him everything. And he's done everything for me, and I'm not ashamed of that. But the world will think you're a religious nut. And I tell you something else. If you rather reprove them, like that verse says, you'll be positively hated. If you speak out for what's right and call sin what it is, you'll be hated by the world. I just have 3 points. Number one, the world hates Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing? You may have never thought of that. You may have went your entire Christian life and never heard a preacher preach on this. I'm telling you today that the world hates Jesus Christ. Charles Spurgeon said if they brought Jesus up on the platform today, the crowd would cry, crucify him, crucify him. We think somehow we've improved ourselves, but we haven't. We're still fallen man. And man outside of Jesus Christ hates Jesus Christ. The world hates Jesus Christ. Look at verse 18 of chapter 15 of the Gospel of John. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And if you skip down, look at verse 23. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. You can't separate the two. They hated Him without a cause, the Bible says. They hated Jesus Christ without a cause. The world hates Christ because they love false, and Jesus Christ is truth. The world hated Christ because they love darkness, and Jesus Christ is light. The Christ of the Bible reproves their sin. Look at verse 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. In other words, Jesus said, I exposed them. I've removed the cloak from their sin. That's why the world hates Christ, is He reveals their sin, doesn't He? He reveals their sin. He destroys their self-righteousness. These people in Christ's day who walked the earth and thought, boy, we're just wonderful religious people. We're great people. Jesus exposed them and said they were serpents and hypocrites and sepulchres full of dead man's bones. And He made the religious crowd mad because He exposed their self-righteousness. If they hate Christ, Jesus said, they're also hating the Father. You know, there's some people would like to separate Jesus Christ from the Father. Did you know that? Did you know, for instance, I could go to a public school, for example, you could go to a public school a football game maybe, or a town committee meeting, and I could, they would ask me to do the benediction or to say a little prayer before it started, and I could say, Heavenly Father, thank You for this meeting. We pray now that You would bless this meeting. Thank You, Father. Amen. And everybody would just sit down and say, that was wonderful. But if I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, there'd be some people got offended. They don't mind if you pray to the Father, but they don't want you to mention Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, if you hate Me, you hate the Father. If you hate Me, you hate the Father. I don't know why that name offends people so much, but it does, according to the Bible, doesn't it?
Yep.
It gets people pretty upset. We shouldn't be shocked at that. Marvel not that the world hates you. The Bible says right here, if the world hates you, you know that it hated Me before it hated you. So, number one, the world hates Christ. The world hates Christ. Number two, Christians... And by the way, have you ever noticed the news media, when they talk to about a follower of Islam or a Mohammedan or whatever you call them, they'll say, they'll have an interview with them or something, and they'll say, well, thank Allah, such and such. And when they translate it, they always say that they said, thank God. Well, the God of the Muslims is not the God of the Bible.
That's right.
But they always try to make it sound like we're all praying to the same God. It's not so. And the Muslims hate the God of the Bible. And they hate Christians, obviously so. They kill them. You won't see this on the news every day, but they're killing them overseas every day, the Muslims are, killing Christian people.
That's right.
Every day. Christians are not of this world. If you look at verse 19, number two, Christians are not of this world. If you were of the world, the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Christians have been chosen out of the world. And if you'll look at it sometime in John chapter 17, Jesus said, I pray not that thou shouldest takest them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus saved us and put us in the world, and he's not taking us out of here till He's ready. But in the meantime, we're to live for Him. That's what He said. He said, I pray that you don't take them out of the world, but that you sanctify them through your truth. Sanctify them through your truth. We're to be sanctified or made holy. We're to be light in a dark world. We're to be sanctified by the Word of God. We're to be salt in a world that's rotten. We're a preservative. If the salt lost its savor, if Christians no longer are salty, what good are they? They're not even fit to throw out to the dunghill, the Bible says. We're to be salt and light in a darkening world, aren't we? Christians are not of this world. I want you to hold your place there in John and look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And verse 1. The Bible tells us here, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he has suffered in the flesh, has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of right, speaking evil of you." Peter here is saying, you don't live the way you used to live anymore. If you're a Christian, God's changed you. He's changed you so much that your former friends they don't understand why you don't run with them anymore. They don't understand why you don't behave like you used to behave. He says here that we no longer live our time, the rest of our life, or the rest of our time in the flesh to the lust of men. A Christian is not of the world. Not of the world. We've been changed, haven't we? A Christian's been changed, and we're being changed. We're being changed. Now, skip over just a little bit there. I think it's 2 Peter chapter 2. No, that's not the one I'm looking for. I'm sorry. 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you," notice this, "out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Dearly beloved, verse 11, "I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest amongst the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." In other words, Christians, we're strangers and pilgrims here. This world is not our final destination. Amen. We're just passing through here. And we're not going to be loved. We're going to be hated, according to the Bible. Don't be shocked about that. Don't be, you know, I don't know if you understand this or not, but here in the last several months, and we're seeing more and more of it, churches are starting to be persecuted in this country. They're starting to pick on churches. They'll allow riots in the street, and they'll allow you to go to Walmart, and they'll allow you to do this and to do that, but churches can't meet in some places. That's the kind of thing that's going on. I don't think it's going to get better. I think it's going to get worse. I hope it gets better, but I have no reason to think it's going to get better. I think it's going to get worse. But we shouldn't marvel about that, because the Bible says that the world hates Jesus Christ. It hates Jesus Christ. and down through history, you can start and go down through history and see where the world persecuted God's people all throughout history. So it shouldn't shock us. You know what our problem is, folks? Look at me. Our problem is we're spoiled here in this country. We've enjoyed the freedoms and the blessings of God all this time, and now some of these things are starting to happen to us, and we just don't know what to think about it. But this has been going on in other places for years and years. We're just now starting to get a little taste of it. Isn't it sad that that's the case? But that's true. Jesus said we've been chosen out of the world. If's the biggest word in the dictionary, right? If that is so, we shouldn't live and talk and act like the world.
Amen.
If that's so. And we shouldn't be surprised if the world hates us. We shouldn't be shocked at that. Number three, persecution is to be expected. Persecution is to be expected. Again, I mentioned that. We'll go back to John, the Gospel of John, please, verse 15. John 15. I mention that because in America, we have been so blessed and so free and so had the great blessings of being able to worship our God that we don't know anything but that. But all around the world, all through the ages, Christians have been persecuted. As a matter of fact, the people that came here to this country left because of persecution, left their former countries. And still today, there's a lot of people leaving the countries that they live in to come to this country for the freedom that we have but are losing. John chapter 15, verse 20. The Bible says this, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me," you know they persecuted Christ. They didn't just persecute him at the cross, they persecuted him throughout his life. If you read the Bible, you understand that they tried to stone him, they tried to throw him off a hill, they chased him out of town, they hated Christ. They hated Christ. And they persecuted Christ, and if they persecuted Him, guess what? They're going to persecute us. They're going to persecute us. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. In other words, Jesus is saying here, if they keep my word, they'll keep your word. Old Lester Roloff used to say, the problem with Christians is they just ain't worth killing anymore. The problem with Christians is they just ain't worth killing anymore. The average church person has never even heard the things I'm saying this morning. Did you know that? The average church person, if they've heard it, they don't want to talk about it. The average church person has never heard that persecution is to be expected. Persecution is to be expected. Now listen, that's like telling a soldier, handing him an M16 rifle and saying, "Now don't worry, you'll never have to fire it." That's not how they do it, is it, fellas? The average Christian has a theology, as one man said, that's a mile wide and an inch deep. In other words, the average Christian doesn't know much about the Bible, just what they've been spoon-fed by the preacher who's scared to tell the people the truth. They want to hear smooth things, as the prophet said. Prophesying does smooth things, preacher. Tell us something good, preacher. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you." Blessed are ye when men shall hate you. And when they shall separate you from their company. That's not fun, is it? And shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day. Blessed are you, he said. Happy are you when men hate you. Happy are you when men say, get away from us. Happy are you when they reproach you and slander your name for the sake of Jesus Christ. Happy are you. Blessed are you. And then he said this. Rejoice in ye in that day and leap for joy. How about that? Leap for joy. You remember how they used to, in the Toyota commercial, they'd jump up in the air and leap for joy because they had a Toyota? Y'all remember that? I'd show you, but my legs are hurting. I spent all day under a house yesterday working. My legs are, they're hurting me. But he said, leap for joy. The average Christian doesn't know anything about that. Leap for joy. Behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. In other words, it's nothing new, is it? It's nothing new. I want you to turn one more time and we'll be done. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. First Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. Well, let's begin reading verse 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Wait a minute. You mean if I become a Christian, everything's just not going to be hunky-dory? You mean if I become a Christian, bad things might happen to me? Well, notice what he says in verse 4. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. In other words, the Bible says, listen, the Bible says we're appointed to affliction. We're appointed to tribulation. We're appointed to persecution. But yet we marvel when it happens. And again, the reason is God has been so good to us, folks. I'm serious. God has been so good to us as a nation that we haven't had anything but good, but blessing. Am I telling it right? And now that things are starting to squeeze a little bit, we're wondering, what in the world? We shouldn't be shocked. We shouldn't be shocked. The modern Christian is not prepared to... You say, why are you preaching on this, preacher? This is a downer. This brings me down. I'm not crazy. I don't like this subject. I understand that. I'm not too great about it either. Amen. But in order to be established, as the verse said there, you need to know this. You need to understand this. We have a lot of Christians, and I use the word in quotation marks, we have a lot of Christians today who are not able to endure hardness like a good soldier. They're really pretty flimsy. We're being told today that we can have our best life now. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say, listen, if your best life's now, it's because you're lost and going to hell and you're not going to heaven, because our best life is ahead. Yes. And if you're an unsaved person, this is your best life now. It doesn't get any better than this if you're lost and undone without Jesus Christ. But if you're a saved person, this is not your best life. And thank God for it. Amen. Amen. When the going gets rough, folks, I think a lot of people are going to jump ship. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen soon. I don't know if that's going to happen in my lifetime even. But I'm telling you, one of these days, it's going to get rough, and you're going to see a lot of people who said they were Christians, you're going to see them jump ship. Now, here's the question. Are you going to jump ship? Now, don't nod your head. Just listen to me. Every time I think about this, I can't help but think about the Apostle Peter. You know what the Apostle Peter said? Jesus was saying that some of you fellas are going to deny me. The Apostle Peter said, yeah, them guys will do it, Lord, but I won't. You know what you and I better say? If God helps me, and by the very grace of God, I'll stand if He'll help me. Because if He don't help us, we're not going to stand. I wouldn't pump my chest out and say, oh yeah, I'm not going to fold. I'm just trying to tell you today, there's going to be a lot of people jump ship. The Bible talks about a great falling away. A great falling away. I think we're heading in that direction. And I think there's going to be a lot of people we're going to find out who aren't really sound in the faith. I think our churches, and I'm not trying to be unkind here, but I think our churches have a lot of stony ground hearers in them. You remember the parable of the sower? Jesus said he described a certain group of people as being stony ground hearers. They received the word with joy until what? Persecution came. And then they were gone. The reason was they didn't have any root. They didn't have any root. Jesus said they endure for a while, but when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, they leave. They leave. You know, I'm afraid that when things start getting rough, and they may do it against God's people. Do you understand that? Do you all understand? I feel like I'm talking to the wall here for some reason. Do you understand that we don't line up with the world and it's going to cost us one of these days? Do you all understand that? Now, if the things keep going the way they're going and we don't line up the way they want us to, it's going to cost us. You just may as well know that. Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me. Can I tell you something? If the world hates you, you're in pretty good company. You're in pretty good company. So don't worry about it too much. And you know what's one of the blessings is, folks, and I'm quitting. One of the blessings. The Bible says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And it goes on to say, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. If there's ever time Christians ought to band together, it's now. If there's ever a time Christians need one another, it's now. If we ever need to encourage one another, it's now. So, I'm glad for that. I'm glad we've got a church that loves one another, aren't you?
Yes.
And good to each other, and takes care of each other, and wants the best for one another. I'm happy about that. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Amen? Let me just read to you real quick out of Mark. People, I'm trying to be calm. She's got the camera on, so I got to be calm. But people have heard a partial gospel for so long that they don't understand the real gospel. The Bible says in Mark chapter 8, "And when he called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now let me tell you what the average Baptist preacher's done with that verse. He said this is the average Baptist preacher in the average Baptist church today in 2020 would say, "Now don't worry about that. He's talking about discipleship." No. I just read to you. He's talking about your soul. He's talking about taking up your cross and denying yourself, because if you don't, your soul's in jeopardy. Now you separate that if you want to, but you're doing terrible damage to the Scriptures. "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul?" Listen, folks. If things get rough, it's going to knock a lot of dead wood off a tree. You better know for sure you're a Christian. You better know for sure you're a Christian. Because as the world grows darker, you want to be found in Him. We sung the song earlier. He is our shelter. He's a rock. Amen. In a weary land. A weary land. Do you know Him today? Do you know Christ? Is He your Savior? Have you committed yourself to Him? Have you committed your soul to Him? Do you know if you're saved by Him and Him alone. There is no other way but through Jesus Christ, is there? There is no other way. And let me tell you something, I wouldn't have it any other way. I wouldn't have it any other way. Let's stand. Thank you for your attention today.